Here at the Sociology of Everything podcast, we acknowledge the people of Gonayarta, whose land this episode was mainly produced on, and whose past and present elders we pay our respects to. Hi, I'm Eric Hsu.
And I'm Louis Everest.
And we're Lou and the Sioux, and this is a podcast about sociology. Brought to you by UniSA, the university with a lot of campuses.
Quite a few. Less all the time, unfortunately. Yeah.
In this episode, we're going to talk about how sociologists and other social scientists have come to engage with Max Weber's famous theory of bureaucracy. We've actually already recorded another episode about Weber's theory of bureaucracy, so we encourage you to listen to that first and then come back to this one. I mean, of course, you can take a break if you like in between, but we recommend for the maximum experience.
You must binge them all.
For you to listen to them straight through. In this episode, we're going to specifically focus on a text authored by Paul Degay, his famous book, In Praise of Bureaucracy. Why this text is one we've chosen to talk about is because it paints a really rich picture of how the social sciences have come to view bureaucracy since Weber's famous account of it was first published and disseminated. And Degay first notes that our understanding of bureaucracy extends beyond the academy. It's not just a discussion point between academics. People talk about bureaucracies, probably not every day. That'd be very weird if you did that. Although maybe I don't want to judge. Some of you probably talk about bureaucracy every day because that's your favorite topic.
First thing I do when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah. And when we usually talk about bureaucracy, we oftentimes talk about it in very negative terms. Degay talks about how there's a popular conception of bureaucracies. What is this popular conception, and how would you explain it, Louis?
Well, like you said, it's something we're probably all aware of, and it's really embodied in terms like red tape. And it's just that conception that bureaucracies are slow, inefficient, cumbersome structures. If you hear people making negative comments about government workers or about not being able to get anything done because there are so many rules, you know, if you want to renovate your house, you need to fill out 20 forms and get everything triple stamped and all these sorts of comments. They put forward this idea that bureaucratic structures that have rules, that have, very strict ways of doing things, where people are positioned into roles where they have to do just their role, to get anything done within this structure is just time-consuming, irritating, and cumbersome. And that's the popular notion of bureaucracies that Degay has a fence with. And I think the really important thing is Degay says, actually, this structure is important. There are really fundamental things about this structure. That was my reading of his
So I think what you're picking up on is the fact that he just disagrees with the popular conception.
Just straight up disagreement.
We think of bureaucracies as being inefficient, but actually, it's not that the case at all. And I guess it's also because, like, what's the alternative?
Well, I think you're exactly right. There's sort of two lines that I read of attack that Degay has against that criticism. And the one's exactly what you said. He says straight up, it's just incorrect a lot of the time. You think about the fact that we live in an amazing society where we have very good healthcare, we have good education, our roads are of a very high standard, and that's because underlying all these essential services are bureaucracies that are highly efficient and really work very well. And we often forget that when someone complains about red tape or whatever else. And the other thing Degay mentions is that actually the fact that bureaucracies take their time and do things slowly and carefully can be a really important thing, because that's how you get impartial processes. That's how you get safe processes. You don't want someone to be able to build a house without having to get proper approval and make sure that their builder's properly registered to do the work. I mean, you can get some pretty bad and unsafe outcomes if you do that.
You can see this at work, not just in the housing departments of governments. You see this in public transport. What Degay would probably argue, and following the work of Weber, systems are inefficient when they're actually less bureaucratic, not when they're more. When they're highly bureaucratic, it means that systems function not dependent on the persons who do the job necessarily. Mm. It's the fulfilling of the roles that they're most, that the system is most interested in. So if someone doesn't show up to work, if someone's sick, a bus or train will still come. And if people have complaints, there is a way to get those complaints heard.
And if you look back at kind of recent Australian history, some of the worst failures of government policy have been instances where bureaucratic structures have been ignored or bypassed. One that comes to mind is during Kevin Rudd's period as Prime Minister, there was a home insulation program that was developed in response to the global financial crisis, and the objective was to very quickly stimulate the building sector by creating this huge new program in which you could get people putting insulation into homes, it would make homes more efficient. It was a pretty clever idea, really, but the problem was the program wasn't bureaucratic enough. There weren't enough rules around who could do the insulations. The people running the program weren't employed because of their qualifications. They were hand-picked by a leader into their positions. There just wasn't enough management and bureaucratic structure, and the program was a nightmare. It ended up being unqualified builders, and there was home fires, and there was very sadly electricians who weren't trained properly who died because they were electrocuted when they were doing the work. There needed to be more bureaucratic structure around that program.
So we have, in some respects, Duguay already defending bureaucracy, that is actually it's an efficient system, but there's a different criticism of bureaucracy that I think Duguay would say is more substantive. That there's something that we do need to consider a lot more significantly. And that's the argument that bureaucracies can lead people in societies to do horrific things. Duguay mentions the work of Zygmunt Bauman, but there's a whole list of other people you could have mentioned, of people, of scholars in particular, of social scientists who have tried to warn us of the dangers of bureaucracy and connected bureaucracies as an institution to some of the worst atrocities of the 20th and 21st centuries. The one that comes most to mind is Richard Rubinstein. I remember reading this as a undergraduate student in sociology, as a first-year sociology student. And what Rubinstein argues in this piece, The Cunning of History, is that the Holocaust, and this is an argument that Zygmunt Bauman also makes, the Holocaust would not have happened if it were not for bureaucracies. Because we like to think of the atrocities committed by the Nazis in World War II as acts of sadism. And there could be some of that. But the point that Rubinstein and Bauman make is you don't kill those many of people at that scale if there's not a bureaucratic structure in place. And the bureaucrats involved in that are just trying to do a job. I mean, so one thing about bureaucracies that they find very dangerous, and this is an argument that Duguay wants to seriously consider, is that it dehumanizes people, it makes them cogs in a machine, and that there's a danger in how efficient the system is, because it can make some atrocities or some horrific acts. It can raise those to the second power. It can turn them onto a scale that would be very concerning to all of us. What does Duguay think about this argument?
Well, I might narrow in on one particular part of that, and that's that dehumanizing part of it. And that's what happens to the individual, the human being, when they are inside a bureaucracy, when they're turned into a cog in the machine. There's a particular way of thinking and acting and making decisions when you're inside a bureaucracy. We could think of it as a form of rationality, as a way of deciding what you should be doing. And when you're within a bureaucracy, really all you're supposed to do and allowed to do is follow the rules. You don't really get to decide the objectives of the organization. You don't get to decide whether what you're doing is morally correct or incorrect, or it accords to your other values. You're not allowed to do that. You just follow the rules as effectively as possible, and the person above you makes sure you're doing the right thing, and you make sure the people below you are following the rules. And because of that, if you think about it, the overarching organization could be doing something pretty bad, but within that organization, each person is going to keep following the rules. And this is dehumanizing because you can't really be a full human, so the argument goes, when you're in this position. You're not a full ethical being. You can't apply all of the principles that you care about in life to your role when you're in a bureaucracy. You're a diminished form of human being. And that's this argument of dehumanization.
And that's a concern that a number of authors have expressed, that in bureaucracies, people are very limited in terms of what they're able to do.
Yeah.
Right? And also...
Is there a term for that, Eric?
Well, there is a term. One of the forms of rationality that's being used, according to Weber, is the formal type. Mm. So when people are in bureaucracies, they must engage in formal types of rationalities. Mm. And what they're really trying to get at is the fact that they're having to be singularly focused on the task at hand. Mm-hmm. And usually when people employ formal rationality, they're interested in a more specific type called instrumental rationality. Mm. They're trying to see how they can best achieve a preset goal. Mm-hmm. So, for example, presumably a lot of you listening to this podcast might be taking a course for a mark. And you're having to complete assignments. Mm. You're engaging in formal rationality because you don't get to decide what the assignment is. The assignment's already been preset. You just have to figure out how best to complete the assignment that's been set for you.
You don't get to decide on the ends.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Or the mean for that matter, really.
You just have to decide how best you can complete it. Mm. But this is contrasted with another type of rationality, which he calls summative rationality. Mm. You know, by he, I mean Weber. Weber came up with this idea to indicate that there's different types of rationality being used, or specific type of rationality being used in a bureaucracy, as opposed to other aspects of our lives. So the concern then that people like Bauman and Rubinstein really make is that when we embrace bureaucracies, we embrace formal kinds of rationality.
Yeah. And you could see how with something as horrific as the Holocaust, you know, it wasn't just the guards on the very front line who were doing horrific things. There was an entire structure that made sure that people were armed, that provisions were happening, the logistics behind the war effort. Mm. And within those structures, there are bureaucrats who were using this formal rationality. They weren't looking at the overarching objective, the horrible objective of what they were doing. They were just doing their role as efficiently as possible. And that's what Bauman argues allowed it to happen.
So Degay, he's to some extent sympathetic to this argument, but he disagrees with some aspects of it. Specifically, when it comes to seeing bureaucrats as being lesser than, right, a diminished form of human being.
Being dehumanized.
Mm. Why does he make this argument? What is he trying to say?
Well, what he's trying to say is that the position of the bureaucrat is actually itself an ethical achievement. Okay. It's something very special to follow the rules and to ignore your own prejudices and biases. Because your own prejudices and biases, if you deploy them in your work on a daily basis, then that can lead to horrible results. For instance, judges. You want a judge to be impartial. You want them to follow precedent, follow the rules. That's quite a bureaucratic role. If a judge was just to sit there and think, do I get a good emotional response from this person? Do I like them? Do I like people of their ethnicity?
A judge could be racist.
Or whatever. Exactly. Yeah. If that judge doesn't apply formal rationality, then we have a very big problem in the justice system. And you could look at many different parts of bureaucratic organizations and be so pleased. I mean, there's a little quote here. It's not the say what, but it is a little early quote. And that is in the text, the ethical attributes of the good bureaucrat, adherence to procedure, acceptance of sub and superordination, commitment to the purpose of the office, and so forth. I mean, these are things that Degay thinks we should celebrate in many respects.
Yeah, imagine if your sociology instructors or your instructors at any part of the university, when they were marking your assignments, they didn't apply formal rationality.
Mm.
They weren't following a rubric. They're like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't like this. I don't like the name Gary. I don't know why I keep bringing Gary in some of these podcasts. But like, I don't like Gaz. I don't like Gaza. So I have a vendetta against Gary's. I think that a lot of people would probably think that's a bad thing. So it's an ethical achievement.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I think Duguay is also very worried about what happens when people rail against bureaucracies too much.
Mm.
Because the solution they offer can also be very problematic.
Mm.
And this is actually something that we see in the news all the time. You have politicians getting up and saying, we're going to cut the red tape.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to reduce the power and influence of bureaucracies. Mm-hmm. And that's because they're inefficient, as we talked about in terms of the popular conception, mm-hmm. or there are aspects of them that can lead people to do terrible things. But you should trust us, mm-hmm. the people who will dismantle bureaucratic structures.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can give another example of that if you like. And I gave one example of the Australian Labor Party earlier, so I'll do an Australian Liberal Party or coalition one now. And that's in relation to the sports rorts and a number of government programs that the bureaucracies in question, the departments that administer those programs, came up with independent ways to award public money to different organizations. Mm. A very bureaucratic thing, and applying all those principles that Duguay tells us are important ethical principles, impartiality, following the rules. And yet the elected government representative ignored the official advice and just started handing money out, kind of as their personal favor, like a king or a monarch, just to win electoral favour in certain areas of Australia and also just to keep certain people happy. And so that went outside the bureaucratic structure and was really unfair. There were all these people who had written grants for this program and were judged to be the most worthy recipients of public money, and they didn't receive it because the bureaucratic structure was ignored and sidelined and a different structure was employed. Mm. A pretty traditional kind of monarchy style expression of power, absolute power, as opposed to bureaucratic managed power.
I would be interested to hear Duguay's thoughts about what's happened with the Trump administration, given the Trump's administration's disregard, oftentimes, for bureaucracy and bureaucratic rule.
Mm.
The State Department and the Attorney General's office basically disregarded years of precedent. And I guess this is really, this kind of speaks to this piece in a broader level, that Duguay thinks bureaucracies at some level are very crucial to the functioning of democracies. This now leads us to our favorite segment, maybe not your favorite segment, but my favorite segment, Say What? And this is a segment where we look at a quote that's in need of further explanation. And I have one in front of me, and it goes as follows. Following Weber, I argue that if the Bureau is seen in this light as a distinctive life order with its own particular ethos of existence, then it cannot be open to problematization for its failure to realize ends it was not designed to meet. The religious and romantic temptation to treat the ethical persona of the bureaucrat as a partial realization of a fuller mode of being is one that should be avoided. What this really kind of says to me is that we should really avoid thinking of bureaucrats as being these like mindless drones.
Mm.
To become a bureaucrat is not something we should scoff at.
Mm.
And when people veer away from being good bureaucrats, there are some real dangers we need to be mindful of, especially in the current climate.
Mm.
And that these moves to challenge and dismantle bureaucracies, they can be anti-democratic. They can be against the rule of law. Mm. And we really need to be mindful. I mean, yes, of course, there's going to be ills that are connected to the functioning of bureaucracies, the operation of them.
Mm.
But we do need to see it also as an achievement. How are bureaucrats made?
Mm.
I think, and I'm not literally, of course. You know, this is not a course
in the
about,
bureaucrat factory.
Yeah,
I think you're right. And I think
this is not going to devolve. This podcast is not going to devolve into a question about the birds and the bees. But maybe we should leave it there.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening. See you in the next episode. Lou and the Sioux is a sociology podcast hosted by Eric Sioux and Louis Everest. It's produced and edited by Eric Sioux, with special assistance from UniSA Online and UniSA Justice and Society. To learn more about studying sociology and other programs online or in person at the University of South Australia, visit unisa.edu.au, where you can search for more details. Loon Lesu is primarily recorded on the lands of the Kaurna people. The hosts of the podcast would like to pay their respects to elders past, present, and emerging. If you'd like to get in touch or learn more about the podcast, visit our website at sociologypodcast.com. Thanks for listening.